Well, welcome to church. Welcome to New Life Church this morning. You guys well? You guys good? Good to see you. Want to say hi to those of you watching online and participating with us from there. We welcome you into our church service this morning. If you're new here, my name is Jeremy Smith, lead pastor here. And last week we began a new series, our Christmas Advent series called Journey to the Nativity. And here at New Life Church, we're all about making Jesus the center of our life, our church, and our community. And we're really excited about this particular sermon series this season as we all are taking our steps forward closer and closer and closer to Christ. And I've asked our assistant pastor, Pastor Lindsay's going to bring message two in this series, Journey to the Nativity. So will you please help me welcome Pastor Lindsay this morning.
Good morning. I am so much louder than him. Michael's like, really quickly, before we start getting to the Holy Scriptures, let's do something really important today. She's going to hate me for it, but here we go. I'm going to need some help from some people. You know who you are, Family Christian School students, past and present. So if you would just go ahead and stand where you are, those of you who know what's about to go down. Yep. Okay. Today is Pastor Haley's birthday. Yep. Go ahead and give her a big round of applause. And so we're going to sing happy birthday to her. If you're not familiar with this version, don't feel bad. But I'm going to show you why I'm not on the worship team today. Are we ready? A happy birthday to you, a happy birthday to you. May you feel Jesus near every day of the year. A happy birthday to you, a happy birthday to you. And the best year you've ever had. Isn't that fun? I'm available for singing telegrams if needed. If you have a practical joke you'd like to play on someone, you just do it for real cheap. Well, listen, this morning we want to get into God's Word, the Christmas story. This series is called Journey to the Nativity. I don't know if any of you have been on Van Drive recently, but what used to be a trip to Walmart is currently a journey to Walmart. Are you aware of that? Yeah. There is no such thing as a quick trip anywhere this time of year, right? The word journey literally means traveling from one place to another, usually taking a long time. It's that usually taking a long time part of it that makes it a journey and not a trip, you know? My feeling is if I have to stop for gas or the bathroom, then it's a journey and not a trip. But yesterday on Van Drive, I was worried that that might be the case, that I might actually have to stop for a bathroom break, which at that point would have just been jumping out of the car and running to Chick-fil-A and getting back in the car before traffic moved. But things are a journey. We want to look today at the story of Mary and Joseph and of Jesus and of our own lives and look at how the journey often plays out. In Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, it says, "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register." Then in Luke 2, 4 through 5, it says, "So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem in the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to him to be married to him and was expecting a child." When I was reading this verse right after Thanksgiving, I thought, I wonder if those censuses were actually encouraged by the mothers in those communities. Because if they required them to come home for a census, then guess what moms got? All their kids had to come home. Think about that. Even back then, people spread out far and wide from their families. They traveled away and moved away. And so here we have this moment where all of these people are journeying back to where they came from to be counted so that they can count new people, new arrivals, new marriages, new unions, new families being formed, and have a count of everyone before they were to go back to their own lives. And so we have this journey that's being taken by Mary and Joseph. Mary and Joseph had a plan. Their families had a plan. They were going to be married. It had been decided, right? Plans were being made. Food, menus, who was coming, all of that. It was already in the works. Things were being planned. But then something happened. And there became a new plan for their lives. Let's look in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus." And just like that, Mary's plan got turned around. Just like that, in that moment, this angel shows up and he says to her, "You are highly favored." And that troubled her. You see that correlation? You know, I'm favored. That makes me nervous. What could that mean? What might be asked of me? And it was true. Something big was being asked of her that would give her and her husband and their family a whole new journey to be on. But he tells her not to be afraid. But then there's Joseph. I can only imagine the predicament he found himself in. He too on a journey, a carpenter by trade, preparing to have a family and a home and build a life like his father did, all the things that are normal that they are supposed to do. Get married, have a family, have a job, have a trade. Here's our journey, our plan for life. And then here's this situation. It says then in Matthew chapter 1, verse 19 through 21, "But Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet he did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save people from their sins.'" That appearance to Joseph, it settled his heart and mind. And so I want to just draw attention to one little moment here. All of us at different places and journeys in our life, all of us on different paths and at different stages in our life. But the truth is that a journey with God, no matter the challenges, begins with the reassurance and care of Christ and with his strength. Mary and Joseph's life was getting completely turned around, but God didn't just say, here's what you got to do, and then leave them. He brought reassurance to them. He brought courage to them. He brought purpose to them and reminded them of the plan. Did it mean there would not be challenges on this journey? Absolutely not. There were going to be plenty. I can only imagine the conversations the people around them were having and the strain that that would have put on them. But God comes to them, and the first thing he lets them know is, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. This new journey that you're on, there's purpose to it. There's a plan for it. And I'm going with you. Don't be afraid. whatever our season of life is in, we need to remind ourselves that His Word tells us that we are not to be afraid. And that is so hard to do, but it is a promise that God has. And so here we see now the beginning of Jesus' journey on earth. It says in Luke 2, 6 and 7, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. This is like this, such a small little scripture here. If you've ever had a child or know someone who has had a child, there's these things called birth plans. You gotta go and you have these appointments and you pick the person you want to be there with you when you deliver your baby, right? And they walk you through all the steps, all the different things that, you know, can happen and won't happen. And I remember Haley and I were pregnant at the same time with our oldest, and we went to these little classes. And this little lady was telling us about how it's gonna go, you know. And we were just like, you know what? And we're going to be natural. We're going to do this all naturally. We had a plan in place for how we were going to deliver these babies into the world. And that didn't happen. It did not. Not for either of us, really. I won't go into her story, but I will just tell you with mine. I thought it was time to have a baby. And it kind of was, and it kind of wasn't. And he was kind of ready to be born, but kind of not ready to be born. And here I was with all my plans in my head, you know, my plans of how this was going to go. And my plan ended with them taking me back and having a C-section and all this stuff. And it was not what I had planned. And I imagine that even back then, women had a plan. You knew who you wanted with you. Y'all know who you want with you in those moments and who you don't, right? Like my mama and my husband, I guess. My husband. I want them with me. Yeah, right? Not my daddy. Please don't let him be anywhere near the room, right? I had nightmares of people that I knew in church that they would be in there. I thought for sure that one of the guys who worked at the church, who worked at the hospital was going to be in the room. I had nightmares that he was in there while I was having this baby. But I had a plan, y'all. And then it didn't happen like that. And we see this little verse, and I just feel for Mary. She had a plan for her wedding. That got hijacked. Now she's having this baby. And you know who she wanted to be there, right? You know she had a plan. Women had a plan and a system for how they would support each other when a baby was born. And now she's got to travel 90 miles with Joseph. I can only imagine the conversations along the way. And then she gets there and the time has come. What? I can only imagine the pains that she must have begun to felt knowing that it was time and in her mind thinking, no, 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 not here. Elizabeth's not here. I just got Joseph. What's he going to do? I just imagine, right? My plan. What about my plan? But the time came and the baby was born. That's all we get. Don't you know there was more to that story than just that little verse? And listen, when it comes to your story, there's so much more to it than just the little short quip. There's more to the story that you're here today. There's a whole lot more to it. And so as we listen to a familiar story, one that we know by heart, one that we have recited, one that we have heard and read and listened to, let us not forget that in the familiarness of this story, there were people who were on a journey with God and who were facing challenges and difficulties and getting through them and making it to where they were going because the favor of God was on them and He was with them. We can never read a verse and think that that tells us the whole story. There's so much more These are real lives that we're reading about. Don't let them be cartoon characters. Don't let them be movie characters or familiar stories. These are people like you and I who are experiencing journey with God that also has so many things that can happen. So Jesus is born. But Jesus' story began way before then. In Philippians chapter 2, we hear this little snippet reminding us of Jesus before he came to be on earth. It says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. We have to see this moment. Jesus existed in glory, but he chose to come here. He was seated with God in heavenly places, present, and yet he chose to come. He chose. He knew what the journey was, and he chose it anyway. He made that choice. He existed in glory, but he came here for this journey. A journey to our brokenness, to our broken world. He came, he grew, he had friends, he traveled, he did miracles, but ultimately he knew that his journey would lead to the cross, and it would lead to his resurrection. But he knew before he made the decision to come. Why would he do that? Like, if you knew when you got on the road, we try, I don't know how many of you do this, you try to get on like the Smartway app, you know, get on Facebook's Downtown Ricky Brown. How is it going to Nashville today? Those potholes still there? Yeah. We try to get a plan, right? We try to look ahead at the journey. So we know which way to go. My dad had to go to North Carolina this week. You can't go to North Carolina the way you always go to North Carolina. You got two choices. You go this way, up north, or you go this way, down south. He chose down south because up north looked like snow. So he went down south, all the way around the normal path, right? We try to make a plan for our journeys and make a plan for where we are going. But you know, we would not go if there wasn't a reason for going. I am at an age where I got to have a real reason to go wherever I'm going. I need to know why. And it needs to have some motivation behind it, right? I got to know where I'm going, and I got to know why I'm going there. And listen, that is understandable. Jesus had a reason for going. He knew ahead of time the potholes, construction, the mean people, the angry people that he was going to pass on his journey. And he still chose to go. Why? Why did he do that? In John chapter 10, verse 10. It says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. He chose this journey for the sake of the world. He chose it. He chose it. So that we could have life to the full, a full life. You know, this is what all faiths are searching for. And no faith. It's what all people are searching for. A full life. A sense that nothing has been left behind. That we've gotten everything out of life. That sense that there's more for my journey. There's a full life. It's what people are searching for. It's what they're longing for. And Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it to the full. not to the busy, not to the wealthy, not to the perfect, but to the full. Too much sweet is not always best. Life is full of complicated things. But my favorite verse from Ecclesiastes, he makes everything beautiful in its time. Everything beautiful in its time. Jesus knew that his journey that he chose would be difficult, would be challenging, would be a struggle. He knew what he was facing, but he knew the destination and the purpose, and it was for our sakes, for the sake of a broken world. Mary and Joseph knew that the journey they were facing was difficult, but they were given the promise that God's favor was on them, a comforting reassurance, do not be afraid, and the promise that what they were doing was being a part of the bigger miracle that God had planned for the world. And here's something. An angel had to come and tell them that because there was no direct way for God to speak to them. So an angel had to come and tell them. We don't have to have an angel come and tell us. Because of what Jesus' journey was, now we know in our hearts. Our journey. Some days we might ask, a life full of what? What is my life full of? It's full, all right, but what is it full of? I got some people who are full of some things. I've been told my whole life I was full of it. What is that? I remember thinking, what am I full of? Now I don't want to ask that question anymore. But what is life full of? You know, every day is uncharted territory. Every day is new. Every day, a whole new adventure. Some days it's smooth sailing, like driving down Highland on Sundays before 7. You know, if you hit it before 7, all the green lights will hit and you can just roll. And you're like, look, took me 2 minutes to get down here. Some days are smooth sailing. Some days are beautiful, like the mountains at sunset or the ocean at sunrise. Some days are beautiful. Some days are crowded and unpredictable, like Van Drive. There are just people and problems everywhere and new things popping up right and left. And some days are dark and full of potholes like I-40 at night. My brother and I were driving to North Carolina. It was dark. We had the baby with us. He was fine. The baby was fine. Me and Justin, not so much. We'd been in the car for a real long time and we were using the GPS. And we get to this traffic that's like not moving. In the dark, in the mountains of North Carolina. And he's like, well, maybe we need to see if there's another route. And so I reset the GPS, right, to look for a new route. And I just start laughing because it's telling me to turn left. The problem is that left is a mountain and a hill going down the mountain. But that's how bad the traffic was. The GPS was literally like, hey, if you want to get out of this, you might as well just go for it. Maybe you'll wind up, as we call in North Carolina, a holler. Maybe you'll fall down the holler and wind up in somebody's yard. But your only way out of this, I mean, literally, the little blue line telling us where to go was to nowhere. And I thought, well, now I've rerouted us. It won't show me the old route. All I've got is this new route to nowhere. I don't know what to do. And we decided to just stay with it till we found an exit. And we decided to follow the truckers because they always know the way. And so we just started following them, hoping that they were going where we were going. And eventually we got there. But it was a mess. But the destination was worth it. If there had not been a destination that we were heading to, it would not have been worth it. And so many people in our world are missing out on life because they have no destination. They're just going through. Oh man, it is so hard to go through when you don't know what you're going through to. It's so hard. But we're on a journey. And ours is longer than 90 miles. It was 90 miles for Mary and Joseph. 90 miles. through rough terrain. You know, the Bible actually never tells us there was a donkey that she rode on. We've put that into our nativity sets, but it doesn't actually tell us that she rode on a donkey. Hopefully she did, but we don't know that. 90 miles, the majority of people walked it. Took a week-long journey of walking while 9 months pregnant. Her ankles, I can only imagine. They weren't on that journey. It was 90 miles. Listen, if we are blessed and lucky, our journey is 90 years. If we are blessed with long life and health, our journey can be 90 years or more. But it is a journey that we are on. And Jesus came to provide us hope in the ultimate destination of where we are going. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. We have a journey to eternal life with Jesus Christ. Those of you who are going to get baptized today, if you want to go ahead and make your way up there, and if you would, let's take a moment and watch this video today.
Four days, 8 hours a day, 90 miles on foot. That is what waited for Mary, who was 9 months pregnant, by the way. Along with Joseph, who had just discovered that his wife-to-be was pregnant with the Son of God. 90 miles on foot. Ninety miles for Mary to ponder the wonder of this miracle and to question how it would affect her hopes and dreams. 90 miles for Joseph to consider the things that first-time dads struggle with and to wonder, what's this relationship with the Son of God going to be like? 90 miles, probably, of difficult discussions. 90 miles of anxiety. Doubts, probably some squabbles, hopefully some laughs. 90 miles. But up ahead lays Bethlehem, the little town where the Savior would be born. Maybe you find yourself on a 90-mile journey this Christmas, one that's testing your faith. Maybe you didn't sign up for this, and you don't think you deserve it, and it's going to take every breath you've got to get there. Might even feel like God's holding your feet to the fire. The fire. It will refine us if we let it. Huh. Have I not told you? Be strong. Be courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God, he is with you, no matter where you go. So friend, no matter how long the road, no matter how many dried up streams you come to, lift up your eyes, for the little town of Bethlehem awaits. Jesus, he always meets us at the end of the journey.
Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. God had to tell Joshua that same phrase 3 times in a row. With just cause, they'd been wandering for 40 years, their leader was dead, and now it was on him to lead these people. And he needed courage for that journey. John 14:1-3, as we close today. Jesus says this, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with you, that you may also be where I am. He is our destination. But in the meantime, on the journey, it says in John 14, 26 and 27, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. The same words that God spoke to his people in the Old Testament. The same words that the angels spoke to Mary and Joseph are the same words that Jesus spoke to his disciples and to us. Do not be afraid. Jesus' journey was our salvation as his destination. And our journey, because of his journey, means that we have hope. And listen, I don't know what your 90 miles is full of today. You may have some things that are tough to endure right now. But we know the destination, and we know there will be joy on the way. Life is worth the living just because he lives. We go into this Christmas season, and it is a time of hope-filled expectation. Hope. If you need hope today, there is hope. There is hope. He has gone to prepare a place for us. And while we are here on this journey, facing all the things that we will face, walking all the roads that we will walk, he has brought peace to us and a comforter to guide us and be with us. You are not alone. We are not alone. Do not be afraid. No matter how long your 90 miles may seem. This morning we have the distinct pleasure and joy to baptize two people as they take a step in confirming and establishing and reestablishing their love and their commitment to go on this journey of life with Christ by their side. So today, as we prepare for baptism, if you would, take a moment. You can stand, stay seated, whatever you feel being led to do for a moment. But let us sing this song, Noel, and be reminded of the everlasting love that came down for us so that there is hope on our journey.